Servus, willkommen zu einer neuen Podcast-Folge. Hier ist der Marquardt. Heute habe ich mal wieder etwas Besonderes für dich. Und zwar habe ich heute einen Gast hier, der auf den schönen Namen Pablo heißt. Manchmal erzähle ich eine Geschichte über Pablo, die extrem erstaunt. Und weil Pablo kein Deutscher ist, sondern aus Belgien kommt, werde ich mit ihm auf Englisch sprechen. Pablo, do you want to say hi?
Hi everyone, welcome to Marquardt's podcast here. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, so I hope it doesn't sound too weird because I'm on a phone with Pablo right now. He's obviously not in Germany, but Pablo, yeah, so I think you know, we come to the stories or a few, how should I say, extreme experiences that you've had in with the girls in the game later. But first, I'd like to ask you a little bit because, you know, we don't actually know each other too well. I think we have met how many times? Maybe 3-4 times?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But we have some common friends. And I would like to tell you or to for you to tell a little bit about your past because I think you come from a somewhat similar background than me, you know, so you've been quite a nerd as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. I like to say that I still am, actually. but now I'm a nerd with game. So, yeah, I mean, to start off, I think I started learning game at a very young age. So I was 15. 15 when I first knew about game and that this thing existed. And that actually came to be because I was a very antisocial nerd. I was playing a lot of video games, you know, the typical stuff. So I was always doing very good in school, but I had no friends. So that's kind of the position I came from. And then I started knowing about game. Started watching some videos like probably everyone does, and just doing some mental masturbation for a couple of years. Then I met a guy through an online game forum, and he was from Ghent, which is a city I live very close to. So we went out together, and I remember coming to his place, and there were a bunch of guys there. And they were all talking about picking up women. And I was pretty new to the scene, so I didn't really know what was happening. But I found it quite interesting. I wasn't saying a lot. I was just sitting there observing. And I went out that night and I saw these guys doing the craziest shit I've ever seen, which actually motivated me to do the same. And I think I kissed 3 girls that night, which for me at that time was crazy. Like just making out with a girl.
Yeah,
was already quite something. So, and then doing that 3 times in one night, crazy.
So that was when you had still been a virgin or?
Yeah, I was still a virgin at that time.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and after that experience, it basically motivated me to continue with this. And on that same night, I also met a guy that was managing another forum. So basically joined that one, met some friends along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the very beginning. But as I was going on with game, I actually started traveling a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I met a lot of people from, all over Europe, basically. Mm-hmm. I never went to the US. I know some people there, but actually never traveled there. So I mainly stayed in Europe. But I was traveling around. And as I was traveling around, I was, of course, picking up women and trying to practice what I've learned in the videos, that led to a lot of fun experiences. And I think the best thing about, or the thing that made me very good very fast, is that I was a very systematic learner.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had such a nerd background, I was always doing the same thing. So I was going out. I didn't really focus on anything while I was there other than being in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I had a couple of sticking points that I knew in the back of my head that I was working on. But then as I came back, I would write a field report. I would look at, okay, what have I done? What can I do better? And just rinse and repeat the process. So that was basically how I did everything for quite a while with no results. And then once I started to get my first results, then the confidence also came in and it basically went into an upward spiral.
So with results, you mean probably the first girl that you had sex with, or?
Oh yeah, the first girl I had sex with wasn't for. So when we talk about that night, I went out with these guys for the first time. I think it took me another year to get my first lay.
Another year, okay. Because it almost sounded like for you, you know, you just started with game and then out of nowhere you were successful, right? So it wasn't like that at all, right?
Yeah. No, definitely not. I mean, okay. Right now it looks a lot easier if you look back at it, but yeah. I know that back in the day it was super hard because, you know, it's not only the game side of things, like, you know, you've been watching the video, so you kind of know what you have to do, but it's putting your ego out there. It's really hard, right? So because you're getting rejected again and again and again, and somehow you need to get your confidence level still up, and that's when you start to develop, when they say it's like the not the situational confidence, when you are confident because something happened, but you get this core confidence that is never going to leave. That was something that I had to build up, but to build that up, you have to fail often, fail a lot, and just, you know, really bang your head against the wall to actually notice that, this isn't easy and this isn't for everyone, but it's definitely something that you can learn. So the first lay took me another year, and then when I had that lay, I think it took like half a year to get my second one. So there's a lot of time that went by during this period. But once I started getting actually quite good at it, I started connecting with people like you and our common friends.
With Henrik, right?
Yeah, Henrik. Yeah, funny thing, actually, I just saw him this weekend. Nice. So, we were actually talking about the time that we went to Amsterdam together, if you remember that.
I love Krakow, by the way. I know you haven't been. You have been in Krakow, but not the
But not the same trip.
Not the what was it called? That was great. I loved it.
That's basically how I started game, in a nutshell.
Yeah. So you played a lot of computer games beforehand, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I wasn't going out. I was very shy. I was also fat.
You were also fat. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I think it's great that you tell that to people because, you know, ultimately the reason why I bring up your story sometimes, because it sounds so, how should I say, it sounds so unbelievable. Right. And I think a really great thing that you had going for you was that you, even though you, as you said, you procrastinated a little bit with the execution, which I think almost everyone does. But ultimately, I think the great stuff that you had in your advantage was you discovered it quite early, right? Because I tell my clients very often that game is like a language, ultimately. And with languages, it's the same stuff, right? The earlier you you learn them, the more easier it gets. Because every once in a while, I have a client who is 40. And I mean, you know, usually they're still good in shape and they have their, you know, job, career, business going, but it's all of them wish they tell me they would have, taken their coaching with me 20 years earlier because it would have been so much better for them.
Also it comes to like habits, right? Sometimes you need to unlearn certain habits that you had.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have those habits for a long time, then it's easier to unlearn them than if you've been doing the same thing for 20 years straight and not changing anything about it.
I think most of the people, right, they actually get I'm not sure what Do I remember the English word for this? You know, they kind of get conditioned to a certain way to talk to girls, and it's obviously the wrong way, right? Because it's a very non-sexual, be nice, kind of way, where I don't know, like their mother told them because she made bad experiences with guys who didn't treat her very well, and then she tries to raise her son into a nice guy, which is ultimately his death sentence for his success with girls. And
Well, actually, that's how it happened with me.
That's
So
oh,
I,
okay.
yeah, this is a fun fact that not a lot of people know, actually. But my mom is a lesbian, so that basically she had me with my dad because at that time it was still a big taboo. Then she came out and she married a girl, and basically I have a very bad relationship with my dad. I was basically abused by him from 8 years old till 12, something like that. So I haven't seen him since. I know he tries to get in contact with me, but I basically don't want anything to do with that guy. But that also means that I was raised by women. So I had my mom, I had her girlfriend, and then I had my grandmother also taking care of me. But that means that I was raised by women, so I never really understood how like a male relationship to a woman works, because you know I've never saw or never seen that side. Which basically made me into the nice guy, and then being the nice guy obviously didn't get me the results I wanted. So then I became depressed, started eating, got super fat. But yeah, like about that, yesterday, actually quite funny. Yesterday I was just minding my own business, and you know how, for example, Telegram tells you that somebody in your contacts joined Telegram. So I got that message, and it was actually from the girl I lost my virginity to, because I never delete phone numbers. I'm too lazy to delete phone numbers. I'm like, oh wow. So I started looking her up, and I was like, damn, she's actually quite hot for such an ugly fuck as me. Like back then, I was weighing 108 kilograms. I probably couldn't even see my own dick. So for some reason, like I made that work, and that was a turning point for sure.
I didn't even know that about you. It's I think it's great that you talk about that. That's very that's very crazy. 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 Just have to compliment that. I think it's for you, it's also very good that you met a lot of guys, right, in the game, because obviously, you know, you need to make male friendships. And what I, you know, basically every client that I have is also telling me, oh, I don't have a lot of wingmans. And you know what I tell them straight ahead is, hey, every time you go out, talk to two, three dudes at least, because having a new, you know, friend that you actually can go out with and talk to girls is extremely valuable for you, because it's the most social skill set there is, right? You're not gonna learn it by yourself, staying at home, reading books. It's, you know, it's like learning by doing and then seeing how other guys do it, and yeah, trying to learn from them.
Exactly. Building a network is the surefire way of getting good at something fast, and also just getting a lot of opportunities. Because if you look at what success is, it's basically a mixture of well, how much opportunities present themselves and how good are you executing on those opportunities. But if you network a lot, then you're basically just making sure that you have a lot more opportunities, both business opportunities, learning opportunities, whatever, right? There have been so many times where I'm hitting a plateau and I'm stuck with something in game, and then I just talk to one of my game friends. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm having this problem. And maybe someone already figured out that issue, and then I don't have to figure it out myself. I can just, you know, listen to him. So yeah, definitely, like talking to dude is also something that you have to do. It's just not about all women, right?
Wow, crazy.
Definitely.
And then your journey is even more impressive than I would have thought, you know, having getting your background in mind, so to speak. Great. So then there's like this young Pablo, how old is he? I don't know, maybe like late teens, early 20s.
Yeah,
So
something like that.
would you like to share? I don't even know what the crazy stories are that you did encounter or experience in game. I quite often tell the people that are listening to this podcast, few of mine, but would you mind sharing some of yours?
Yeah, sure. I think one of them is the six sum. I think that's probably the pinnacle. So yeah, the six sum basically came to be. So I'm a dude that really loves threesomes. I discovered my first threesome when I was I think about 19. Yeah. And I instantly knew that I loved it. Like the more TNA I can get in one room, like the better,
The
right?
more what? TNA? What is that?
TNA, which stands for tits and ass.
It's an ass, okay.
Like the more of those I can get in one room, the better. Yeah, basically I started really liking that idea. And I built a harem, basically. So that's probably the thing I'm most well known for is I had two messenger groups. So they were called Pablo's Harem 1, Pablo's Harem 2, simple as that. And the first one had three girls in them. The second one had two girls in them.
Oh, three. I thought it would have been each two girls in them, but
Oh no, one
crazy.
had three. One had
Crazy.
three. Yeah,
Okay.
basically. I think I wrote a whole guide back in the day, but I'm not sure where it is on how to actually build that stuff. Because as I said before, like I'm learning in a very systematic way, so that means that I can kind of like reverse engineer my process quite well and write it down in a very almost mathematical way. But I was very fond of that sort of sex because I was having, so these were all fuck buddies of mine. We were meeting each other every Fridays almost. And I actually got along with those girls quite well. Like it's not, and this is something that a lot of people always think when they hear about game and yeah, people like us that meet a lot of women is that we just have sex with them for the sake of having sex with them. But I actually have very good connections with these girls. Up until this date, because now we're obviously not in the harem anymore. I mean, it's been what, 6 years, 5 years, 6 years?
Really, you
Yeah, it's
spend
been
6 years with them in the
well since I started. So I'm now 25. So at 19, 20 something, should be 5, 6 years ago. So I'm still talking to all these girls. Well, except one maybe, but that's another story. And some of them have a boyfriend now. Some of them, well, I think one even had a baby last year.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, but like I'm still very good friends with those girls, and there's no weirdness in the relationship, let's say. But yeah, to come back to the harem, so I had the harem. We met every Friday, and yeah, we just had a very good time. We were very open about what we were doing with our lives, so it was a very fun relationship. Until one night, I was invited to a party with the Harem 2, and actually decided to bring some of the girls from Harem 1, and
And
because
they knew each other, right? Or they at least they knew that, the other ones are existing.
existed, yeah, exactly. They knew they existed, but they haven't met yet. So that was the evening that happened. So we first had a pre-party at one of my girls' place, and then basically we went out to a club in Bruges, and we were all dancing. So there's these, you have the club, and there's these podiums. There's two podiums next to the DJ booth. Which are not VIP decks. I mean, the VIP deck was somewhere else. So we were just standing there. So we had a little bit of a, we were standing a little bit higher than the rest of the crowd, which was quite funny because as soon as I started kissing one of my girls, I was actually putting the heads of two other girls together to make them make out, and then the other girls saw that and were also starting to make out.
Yeah.
So we were all just making out, and then I was switching from girl to girl. Yeah. But because we're standing so high up, you should have seen the faces of people in the club. Because if you don't know about gay and you think that this stuff is impossible,
yeah,
and you see that in the club, then it's like who's this big reality check, I guess.
So you were this big pimp in the club.
Yeah. So we were basically just making out there. And then because I knew that it was kind of like a done game, because I've been having sex with all these girls.
Yeah.
I see them all making out. So like, I'm like, you know, it's fine. So we stayed in the club for about two more hours, and then we took two cars home. And yeah, home as in like the place of my fuck buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this, she had one 2-person bed, and she had one couch that she could basically convert into a bed. So we basically put the bed next to the couch and just converted the couch into the bed for, and we just all got on there and then had a sixsome, which was, which was quite amazing.
Nice.
It also helps if you have girls that are bisexual. I mean, that's something that I was always screening for when I was looking for these threesomes, that they're at least bi curious, right?
Sure.
But that was quite crazy. I've never been able to top my record there. It always stayed the sixsome, unfortunately.
I would say that's good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Good enough.
I mean,
at some point, like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You only have two heads. You only have one dick. Like.
Yeah. And then I believe you also told me that you usually come sort of quickly, or.
Oh yeah. But the good thing is that I can still continue even if I came. So it's like I come, I just switch the condom, and I continue.
Okay. Well, for me, it's almost the opposite. I guess I tend to come a little bit later, but then I'm like done, and I'm like, fuck this.
Well, for me, what made the difference is that, like, back in the day, I came, and that made me nervous. Like, I would come super quickly, and then I would be nervous, like, oh shit, I just came. Yeah, now she's gonna think I'm bad at sex, and, you know, like, all these thoughts, and then just... you start not caring after a while.
Yeah.
And that actually just makes it better for you, because you're not focused that much on, oh shit, now I just came. Because you can just continue doing whatever the fuck you want.
I feel like for some girls, it's not even that important that they come. It's more like important that you come, right? But obviously that's very different.
Definitely.
Yeah. What I also find quite weird, on Saturday I had a girl, and I sometimes have it, like not too often, but sometimes they come and I don't even notice, right? And it's very weird, because I like to, you know, feel and hear and see how they come, and I'm not stupid, retarded, you know, I had a lot of sex, but with her I didn't even notice, and I was like, what? So great. So that
I was just gonna add that, like, girls have so many different orgasms, whereas it's just like we come and it's always the same thing.
Sure. I mean, I guess I can imagine also sometimes guys come and the girl is not noticing it, but I mean, I would find it weird too, but I mean, it's like some girls squirt, you know, sometimes they're very noisy, sometimes they get very quiet.
Exactly.
So that was the famous should have been more famous Pablo Sixsome story. And you were 21, right, when that happened?
21.
I think that was a crazy development, you know, basically from this like shy, overweight guy that had quite a few disadvantages regarding his life, obviously. And, you know, we'll talk about some other, because you're also an entrepreneur, and, you know, that's something for itself. But you coming from that background and then sort of like turning into Dan Bilzerian with the girls, I think that's very remarkable, and also quite inspiring for many other guys out there, and obviously, you know, everybody has to decide for themselves what they want. But I guess as long as you don't get any bad, like really bad STDs, you know, it's probably not gonna something that you regret, or you look back in your life and you tell yourself, I wish I wouldn't have had that sick son. You know, that's probably not going to happen.
Actually never had an STD, by the way.
You never had an STD? Wow, okay.
Never, because I'm super paranoid when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I was always buying the extra thick condoms. like, even though, because it also helps with me coming quickly, right? So if I get the extra thick ones, then I can at least hold it for, like, an extra minute.
True.
But yeah, that's kind of the thing. But for me, because I've also heard a lot of other guys' stories, and it always motivates me. But this is something that I really want to tell your listeners, is that for me at the time, there was only two options. It was either get good with women or commit suicide. it was true, because I was super depressed when I was 15. Because the actual reason why I started looking at how to pick up women online is because I was so antisocial, and there was one party that I was going to basically just the classmates. So no other people from my age, but just the classmates. We went there, it was a home party. And I was still drinking at that time. So I'm not a big alcohol fan. I also don't think it helps for game.
Same.
But back then I was still drinking because I was young and stupid. And I went outside to take a piss. So half drunk, I stumble outside, go take my piss. I go back inside and I see that, like, all the classmates, so all the guys were making out with the girls.
Yeah.
And then I come inside and the first thing I hear is a girl, she just looks at the door because I come in.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Ew, Pablo's here." But like, you know, the word "ew" was like, the drop that really made me say, like, okay, now I need to get better, because I heard that. I started crying, went home, I didn't talk to anyone for 3 days.
Wow.
And that was the moment I decided, like, either I'm gonna commit suicide now or I'm gonna get good with women.
Oh man.
And
okay,
you know, like, if you commit suicide, then that's a done deal, that's the only thing that you're gonna do. But if you try and get better with women, the worst thing that can happen is you fail and you go back to plan A, which is committing suicide, or you actually get good and then, you know, you get to live, which was the case for me. Thank God.
Wow, man, that's crazy. Yeah, I didn't even know that part, you know, because crazy. Some similarities with me, you know. I guess with me, the frustration came when I was 17 up, and you know, I basically was at home in my little village and stopped playing World of Warcraft. And then I'm like living, you know, still at home with my alcoholic mother. And I'm like, fuck this, right? This is not good. This is not really how it's supposed to be. And yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess some similarities to the movie Get Rich or Die Trying, but it's more like get good with girls. Or die trying. Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's crazy. But I feel like for young men it's very hard, right? Because if they're anti-social or whatever, it's not really that. I guess we have been anti-social. It's more like that we didn't really got the proper skill set, right? So it's hard for some guys.
Yeah, and I think it's getting worse and worse with the years. Like, you get less opportunity to actually get good, because even for us, we actually had to put ourselves out there to get good with women.
Yeah.
But I can see that, like, back in the day when stuff like Tinder didn't exist, OnlyFans was still a thing of the past.
Mm.
Like, a lot of guys, they were still kind of forced by life to go and talk to women, whereas now it's just easier not to do it sometimes, and you really have to be different and say to yourself, like, okay, I want to actually get good, and I'm gonna push myself, and I'm gonna get rejected, and I'm gonna go through all the hard shit to actually get a better life. Because it's easy to get in this, oh, instant gratification, I'm just going to watch some porn online type stuff, because that's basically what I was doing. I was just, gaming a lot and watching porn, which is probably something that you can relate to. But it's very gratifying for a second, but it's not going to improve your life in the long term. So you really have to push through the hard stuff.
Definitely. I think it's also because, you know, nowadays you get your first smartphone, you know, before the age of 10. And I mean, it's crazy, you know, you can stay in and play video games for the whole day and nobody's telling you to stop or go outside and talk to actual people. And then you have less siblings as back in the day and so on and so forth. Even, you know, because of the pandemic, you know, you need to stay home, you have whatever homeschooling, you know, Would you mind sharing maybe like one or two other stories that you have, or something that was still stuck stuck in your head?
What's another good one? Oh yeah, there's just a few that I remember that stuck out. For example, one was in Sopot in Poland. Uh-huh. I was there for my first kind of like game convention or what do you call it. So there were guys from all over the world there attending seminars and trying to pick up women. But like Sopot, you have to know, is a party city where a lot of Polish people go, as I was told. Like, I'm not an expert of Poland, but it's like a party destination. However, it's quite small, as in it's one street that goes to the beach, and that's about the most important thing about Sopot. And there's two clubs there. I mean, there's three clubs but two buildings, because two clubs are in the same building, so it's not like it's super spread out, which means that if you take a lot of guys that come from all over the world and you put them in this tiny city, like, it's mayhem. It's there's too many pickup dudes for the women that were there. But anyway, so I was there with all those guys, and that's where I also met Yanis, which I think we also both know, right?
Yes.
I'm not sure if you ever met him in real life.
No, I did. I actually met him in, I don't know where we met, at least in Sopot too. Yeah.
That must have been the next year when I wasn't there.
Yes.
Because, I went there for the first year. And I remember I was doing it. I was talking to two girls. It was me and another guy. I don't even know who that guy was, but all I remember is we were sitting at the cocktail bar talking to these women, and all of a sudden Yanis, he texted me and he's like, oh yeah, I have these two girls here, can you come wing me?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the girl that was sitting like in front of me, and I was like, okay, maybe I can just leave this guy here, maybe he can call a wingman, because I'm not really too fond of this girl. So I just dropped everything, I paid my cocktails, and I went to see Yanis at the club.
Mm-hmm.
So I started winging him. The friend of the girl that he was hitting on was also quite hot.
Mm-hmm.
So we started hitting it off, and we went outside. So me, Yanis, and two girls, we started making out in front of the club. And I remember it started raining, and Yanis took off his coat, and we were basically underneath his coat, like, mm-hmm. all four of us, and we're just making out with each and our respective girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started trying to pull them, but these girls, they didn't talk English.
Oh.
Or they didn't speak English, so we had to do most of the stuff through Google Translate. But I mean, it works, right? Like, if you really have to, then you can make it work. And that was also one of the big lessons I've learned in pickup, is like, don't give up too early,
because
you have a lot of guys, they make excuses for themselves. It's like, oh yeah, but she did speak English. Like, no, man, you have a phone, you have Google Translate. Like,
yeah,
go try at least. So we had to find a place to pull them to. And the first thing that we could think about is go to the beach. So it's just like us four, we go to the beach. We're underneath Yanis' jacket, And we start making out with our girls again next to this little beach cabin, like where they put, I don't know what they put inside, but it's just a beach cabin, right? So we start making out, and all of a sudden I see Yanis and his girl. They go around the corner, and I'm basically there just with my girl in the jacket. So I start feeling her up, and I take her hand, put it on my dick. She's absolutely loving it. She opens up my pants, she starts jerking me off, she gives me a blowjob. I come, and right at the second I come, Yanis's girl comes around the corner, so I'm still there, hands down, and I turn 45 degrees to get my pants on, and then Yanis also comes around the corner, and we basically didn't talk about it until after. So the girls then just went home. Because there was no sex that night. But I was talking to Yanis to, basically figure out what happened with him, and the exact same thing happened. So he was also feeling her up, also got the blowjob, also came. And then from that moment, we were just calling each other cum brothers, because we basically came in like half a meter from each other, but just not knowing it. So I think that's beautiful. There's no better bonding that you can do than that.
I thought you're gonna end the story with, and then I was about to come, and the other girl came around the corner, and I just
Oh,
accidentally came on her or something like that. But it's a good story too. I like it. No, I like Sopot. Was a great city there. Obviously, many, many, many guys there. Because of some special event. But yeah, I liked it too. I like Poland a lot. Would you? So now we basically have two options. Either if you like to, you can share another story that I haven't heard of as well. And obviously, I haven't. I didn't know the last one too, the Cum Brothers story. Or if you'd like to, because we talked a little bit before we started recording, but I know you have your own business, right? It's also somewhat impressive, I believe, because you work as a you basically work in the IT field, right? Which means your work is very rational, I'd say. And I think a good question for you, because many of my men that listen to this podcast also have their own business and career going on. And a question that I get quite frequently is, how do you combine those two? Because I know you're a busy guy as well, and how do you handle that one?
So for me, I'm not sure who said it, but I've always heard that you can only focus on three things in your life. And one of those things is going to take up 80% of your time, and then the others is going to be 20%, where it's like 10 each, or maybe 5, 15, or whatever ratio you want to give it. Excuse me, give it. Basically, I focused a lot on game when I was, basically, well, I started taking action at 17, so 17 until, let's say, 22, 22, 23, and then basically my focus shifted more towards business. So what I do these days is I basically just game whenever I'm somewhere that I need to be. It's not like I go out for day game anymore, or I go out for night game anymore, or like it's not with that intention. However, if I'm somewhere and there is an opportunity to go talk to a girl, like I'm gonna do it. If it's a grocery store, if it's the waiting line for the doctor, like whatever. You can meet women everywhere, and that's something that I've learned prior to my business life, is that you can't really do that. So that's basically how I incorporate it these days. Plus, I also make my network work for me, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like you have, if you're at the gym, so it's a place where you come often, start talking to everyone so that everyone starts to get to know you. And if new people come in, they obviously want to meet you. And then, it's kind of like a passive income, but then with girls. So that's basically how I manage it today. like before, it's basically what you want to put your focus on. But I think a lot of people that are running a business already and they want to incorporate game into that, like, you don't have to go to the extremes like I did, because I actually went to quite the extreme. Like, pickup was my life for quite some time. But you can also just set aside a couple of hours during your day to go out and talk to women. Like, I remember a time where I was in that transition, where I would just go work, do my shit, and then I would go to the city for 2 hours and just do 2 hours a game, just go home, and that would be it. And you can't do a lot in 2 hours, but I mean, you can do something in 2 hours. So, and it shouldn't also hold you back, because what you should know about where I live is I live very far from the big cities. I mean, well, very far is relative, because Belgium is quite small. But I need to do a 30 to 40 minutes car drive until I'm at the city. And yeah, there's basically no public transport going there. I mean, there is, but it takes 2 hours to get there, so it's super shitty. But that never hold me back. Like, if I need to go there to do game, like, I would go and do it, even though that the drive there was usually longer than me actually gaming. Like, you know, it's a sacrifice that you need to do. Plus, if you're in the car, it's not like you're gonna go and slack off there. You can just listen to an audiobook. So yeah, you just need to make sure that you set aside time to work on your social skills, because it's also going to help you in business. Like, business is a team sport. So if you're not going to be able to talk to people and you're not sure how social interactions work, then you're going to have a hard time in business as well. So it's better something that you get handled, especially if you run a business. As for what's for me the hardest part in combining a business with game is, because I come from an IT background, so I work in IT, which is, as you said, a very logical thing. And then you need to go out and talk to women, which is a more emotional thing. So sometimes I'm spending the whole day, you know, like programming or whatever the fuck I'm doing. And my brain is in this logical mind space, and I need to get out of that. So it usually takes a while before I'm quote unquote warmed up. But as you go and you do that often, you start also building a routine for yourself, where you know, like, if I do these tiny steps, I can get out of my logical brain and get into my emotional brain. So for me, that would be, for example, like we're doing now, we're talking and we're recording a podcast. I would usually, if I'm in a very logical mindset and I would go out, I would start recording a podcast, but just for myself. I would never release them, but it would get me in the mood of just talking to myself. And that brought me into this emotional mind space where I could just also go out and just do as I would do on a podcast, just talk to the girl. But then, of course, I have some interaction from her as well. But even if I don't have any response from her, I can still keep on talking, because, I mean, as you know, sometimes you have these girls that have this firewall response, which is pretty strong. They're not giving you that much, so you need to be able to entertain yourself and the girl. So if you just spend an hour recording a quote-unquote podcast that you're never going to release, like, that usually brought me into the social mood. But that's what works for me, of course. Like, everyone probably has their own techniques with that. But yeah, like, that's probably the hardest thing, because I have such a logical job. But then again, that's not going to be the same for everyone, because you can run a business in, let's say, sales or marketing, and then you probably have more interaction with people than I have. So yeah, but it's more something that I do on the side now, like pickup. I just do it whenever I have the time or the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you did a lot of things earlier, you know, and I sometimes tell my clients that if they can afford, actually, and if their whatever business career is good or on point, you know, maybe at some point you want to really just get a few months off and then just go full hardcore into game if you have at least haven't done it earlier. And I think regarding the transition that you say from work to game, I think also the more often you do it, the easier it gets somehow. You know, it's a bit of a training, I'd say. But yeah, I feel like that the more often you switch from one to the other, the faster it gets a little bit. And do you want to mention
something? Yeah, I think it's kind of the same as with approach anxiety, where if you have approach anxiety, it's kind of like a big wall that you need to punch through. But the more you punch through that wall, the wall is still going to be there. Like, I think you can relate that if you go and talk to the first girl of the day, there is still like somewhat of an anxiety inside of you, but you just know how to deal with it better. So the wall is smaller, you can just punch through instantly. And I think it's the same with the routine. Like, the more you need to switch from logical to emotional, the easier it gets, because you know what fires off that transition. So it's also a lot about learning about yourself. And also what you said about, just taking a trip if you can. If you can do it, then for sure, because it's going to be a lot more beneficial if you can build up that momentum. Which is, I think, the most important thing about it is, you know, you take a little vacation to go and learn game, and you get inside of that momentum, which is going to actually increase your learning potential than if you would do it alongside of your job, which doesn't mean it's impossible to do it without. It's just going to be a lot better if you can take that trip, like you said.
Sure. Awesome. Yeah. And I also liked what you said about basically it's like using the options that are going to present yourself, right? I feel like that's quite an effective way to do game, because, well, at least if you live in a city, you know, to be honest, every once in a while you're just going to see a hot girl, you know, during the day if you need to walk somewhere or whatever, if you're in the gym. And I feel like it's even more so important that you just don't make excuses, right? Because options is usually something that is going to present itself almost every guy, I would say, to a big enough degree, right? It's more about like actually using the options that you're going to get here and there, and just not make excuses.
Yeah, definitely.
Great.
Because if you make an excuse, then you lose automatically, right?
Yeah.
There's no winning there.
Definitely. It's I quite often tell my clients it's approaching growth is basically like a trade you're making, but there is no real downside, right? It's basically a trade with a, if you want to call it like that, unlimited upside, right? Because the best case is maybe she's your dream whatever woman and you're going to have kids with her and whatever you like doing with her. And the maximum downside you have is whatever, she just looks weird at you and she walks on, you know. So it's not really, you shouldn't even think about like what should you do if you see a hot girl, right? It just makes sense to walk up and talk to her and see how it goes. It's like there is no real downside.
And I think some guys they make the downside bigger in their head than it actually is.
True.
And that's something that you just realize with experience, I guess, is that it doesn't matter if she rejects you or if she looks weird or even if she talks to her friends about you, like that shit passes. You're probably never going to meet this girl again.
You never even think about it again, right? It's not like, like past year, all the girls that I talked to that just did ignore me. It's not like I waste a second of my life thinking about them ever again. They're gone, right? And
yeah, exactly.
I probably forget, you know, if I talk to some of them again this year, I probably forgot about them already, because who cares? Okay, great. I think that's pretty much it. Do you want to get anything off your chest as well, or?
Not in particular. I mean, I could talk about game for hours.
Okay. Yeah.
But we'll have to cut it off at some point.
Yeah.
If you have no extra questions for me, then yeah, I also don't have any extra to tell you. Yeah, all I can say is just as a personal note to everyone who's listening is that, like, no matter what your situation is, basically, there are opportunities for you to grab, and it's up to you if you're gonna take them or not. Because most of the guys that are unsuccessful or give up, they're just the biggest excuse makers, and they just decide to not act as they know they should. Yeah. Because everyone knows how they should act in a specific situation. Like, it's not like you see a hot girl and you're like, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't talk to her. Like, you know you should, you just don't do it because of whatever excuse. Yeah. But that's the sure way of losing. So just make sure you grab every opportunity you can, and that's basically how you become successful. It's not like you're gonna create opportunities out of nowhere, but you need to recognize them and grab them when they're there.
Great, love it. Yeah, then I would say thank you so much to speak to the man that are listening to this podcast, and to me too. It's great to hear from you.
It was my pleasure.
Especially because your time is quite valuable, and you have good things going on in your life. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome. It was a pleasure to be here.
So, also ich hoffe, die Podcast-Folge hat dir sehr gut gefallen mit Pablo. Mir persönlich hat sie sehr gut gefallen. Ich fand es auch schön, mit Pablo mal wieder zu sprechen. Wir haben nicht allzu viel Kontakt, aber weil ich die Story immer mal wieder erzählt habe, dachte ich mir, dass es für dich einfach sehr schön ist, sie zu hören. Und ich finde es auch sehr beeindruckend, wie sich Pablo entwickelt hat. Du siehst eigentlich, dass er so ein, fast schon so eine Art Musterbeispiel ist von jemandem, der wirklich wenig bis gar keine Erfahrung mit Frauen hatte, zu jemandem, der es ordentlich drauf hat, der es auch in anderen Bereichen geschafft hat. Also er hat abgenommen, hat sein eigenes Business, ist mit Frauen extrem erfolgreich geworden und gleichzeitig hat er nicht die perfekten Startbedingungen. Also ich habe mit ihm noch ein bisschen drüber gesprochen, wie seine Beziehung zu seinem Vater war und was der so gemacht hat. Also ich freue mich sehr für Pablo. Ich hoffe, der Podcast motiviert dich extrem, beziehungsweise diese Podcast-Folge motiviert dich extrem. Und falls du mit Frauen schneller da hinkommen möchtest, wo du hinkommen willst, kann ich dir nur empfehlen, bewirb dich auf meiner Website auf ein Coaching. Nicht wenige von meinen Klienten haben Dreier. Ich habe ja einige Podcast-Folgen mit Klienten von mir gemacht, ist auch interessant, dass Pablo da anscheinend einen gewissen Fetisch hat, was Dreier angeht. Dann ist es auch kein Wunder, dass er mal einen Sechser in seinem Leben erleben durfte. Aber ich weiß zumindest, dass einer von meinen Klienten, ich muss ihn mal wieder anschreiben, schon länger nichts mehr von ihm gehört, wahrscheinlich auch einen Vierer mittlerweile hatte mit drei Frauen. Also du siehst, es ist nicht eine Sache, die irgendwie komplett unrealistisch ist, egal wie, von wo du startest oder von wo du anfängst. Ne? Ist möglichst wichtig, dass du damit möglichst früh anfängst. Also, dass du schaust, wenn du viel Zeit verstrichen hast lassen in deinem Leben, ohne dass du da große Fortschritte gemacht hast, dass du einfach guckst, dass du so schnell wie es geht vorwärts kommst. Und die leichteste Möglichkeit dafür ist auf jeden Fall ein Coaching. Geh auf meine Website, bewirb dich. Wenn du geeignet bist, freue ich mich, mit dir zu arbeiten. Und wir hören uns in der nächsten Podcast-Folge. Bis dann, mach's gut. Ciao.